So we'll go verse by verse to read Ephesians chapter 5. Phyllis, you could do verse 1 and 2 to start us off.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
Can we do 1 8 or 2?
2.
You could take 2. Go ahead.
For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, where the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth.
Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them.
We're in Ephesians 5, what?
Verse 12. 12 and 13.
For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her,
that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he may present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish.
So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, when I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. So we're still studying the Holy Spirit. And like I said, we're not going to finish studying the Holy Spirit. We're going to cut off at a certain point when we are finished with our questions. And you see up on the board, we're pretty far with a lot of our questions. There's a lot of green on our tracker. There's some yellows that we're working on. Last week we worked on the fact of the Holy Spirit working in the Old Testament, and we saw that there was a lot of his work that is very similar to what he does in the New Testament. We saw that one of the main differences, though, was the fact that the Holy Spirit could depart from individuals in the Old Testament. But now in the New Testament, we know that he indwells. And we saw that in some of our earlier studies, that the Holy Spirit does dwell with us permanently. And we also recall the fact that the Holy Spirit, his work of pointing us to the Father and the Son, right? So remember, here's all of us, we're weak, and there's the things of God, the deep things of God. Jesus Christ is crucified and risen. He goes up to the Father. He himself is the testimony, the Word of God. And the Spirit makes known the deep things of God. He does this through Jesus Christ. Well, Christ asked for the Spirit to come. And then we see that the Spirit is now making the deep things of God. When we see that that's what Paul is doing, we see that in Scripture, that the Spirit is making the deep things of God known through Scripture. Since the Scripture has been given, there's no reason to be sitting there and waiting for some new revelation to come that will give us something other than Christ, something other than what's been found. So that's some of the things that we've seen before. And also as a reminder, our little three-part map there. Remember, before regeneration, before you were saved, it is impossible to not sin, that your heart is desperately wicked. After glorification, when the Holy Spirit makes us perfect into the very image of the Son, and we're with God in glory, we're able to please God and we do not sin. The heart is able to please God and does not sin. But today, in this world, we are able to please God, but our heart, we still sin. So this is why we need to be very careful about trusting internal movements and thinking, this is the Holy Spirit. We saw that could be bad cheese that you had. We also know that it could be us convincing ourselves. And that's very easy for us to do, to convince ourselves for whatever action we want to take and to say it is God who has moved me. And this is why he gives the word, right? He gives the word. It's outside of us, and that word penetrates us. So today, we are looking at the Holy Spirit, what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament realm. What does it mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit? And I'm sure you have heard different fillings of Holy Spirits from people out on TV sometimes, right? Like you see that someone is filled by the Holy Spirit, they say, "Be filled with the Holy Ghost." And they start to dance and clap or bark or laugh. And it's scary. Is that to be filled by the Holy Spirit? And plus, when we know that we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit dwells among us or in us, do we get more of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit? If you have the third person of the Godhead dwelling in you and he's Spirit, it's not like he's a gas, like a molecule that's filling you up. What does it mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Of course, we could come up with our own opinions, but what we will do instead, because this is something that's from the Spirit and not from us, we have to hear what he says in Scripture himself about what it means to be filled by the Spirit, right? So before we get to this passage, I want us to first go to John chapter 7. Because this is a helpful passage. John chapter 7. Look at verse 37. Who wants to read that? John chapter 7, 37 to 39.
John chapter 7, you said?
Yes, 7, 37 to 39.
Chapter 7, verse starting at 39?
37,
starting at
39.
37 and go to 39.
In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Spirit has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
Very good. Thank you, brother. Now, we already understand that the Holy Spirit, he was here in the Old Testament, he's here in the New Testament, but he was given in a special way in the New Testament, right? Remember when we talked about the Son dying, going to the Father and asking the Spirit to come? Right? So he came in a special way to dwell among us, right? Dwell in us. But what I wanted to highlight in this, right, that you see the path to this wonderful picture that Jesus gives. Look at verse 39. It says that Jesus was talking about the Spirit, right? In this illustration that he uses, he talks about the Spirit. And what does he say when he's talking about the Spirit? He uses a picture. If anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So where are we getting our source? What is that thirst quencher, the true thirst quencher? Who is it? Says it right here. Jesus says, come to me. Come to him. Anything that we think about with the Holy Spirit, we have to realize that it's about going consistently and constantly back to Jesus. My kid doesn't know this. It's as a probably Cheyenne doesn't know this either. I'm not sure if Pete might be on the edge. But when I was growing up, I was not allowed back in the house in the summer. It was like school's over, you wake up in the morning, you have your breakfast, get outside. You try to come back inside, stay outside. This is why you use the back of the garage to pee. You only came in for number two. Even water, you went outside. How do we all drink?
The hose,
right? Oh, the hose. Let me say, you're playing basketball, and that first blast of water from the hose, it's super hot, right? You remember you would burn your mouth? But oh, how good that hose water was. It was fantastic. You sit there, and you pour it on your head. It was, you don't understand. Cheyenne, have you ever drank from the hose? No. Pete? You have? Yeah, so I figured you were right there. You seem like someone that your parents would be like, get out, go play it. That hose water, that was thirst quenching. And it was hot at first, right? Because the hose is just sitting there. So that first blast is burning hot. But man, it starts pouring cold and you're sitting there with your face and it is fantastic. And then it turns into a game. You put your thumb on it. You spray everybody else, right? You remember that? That was good. And Jesus uses this picture, right? Which is so cool because he uses this picture in a world where you don't always trust the water, where you would drink maybe sometimes with a little bit of wine to try to get rid of the bacteria. But he's saying, no, I'm not like these little ponds that you try to mix up with. No, you, if you're thirsty, come to me. And I'll give you drink. And then he says it doesn't stop there, right? You get that thirst quenching, and then he gives you the picture. And if you believe in me, just like the scripture says, out of your own heart comes not pond water, but rivers of living water. And you know what's the good news about rivers back in those old days? The water's moving. You don't trust water that's sitting around. You don't trust it because somebody can use it. And if you drink it, there might be something in there that you don't want to be floating and drinking, right? But flowing water, that's that water that can be washing down, and it's a river. It's coming down from somewhere. It is moving. That's the water that you could very likely drink from. But he's not saying that you're going elsewhere to drink. He's actually saying out of that person's heart, because you're drinking from Jesus, out of your heart flows this living rivers, living, active, energizing water. What a beautiful picture that he gives. And he says this, he says about the Holy Spirit. Any commentary that anybody wants to add to this portion here? Any commentary, comments?
In chapter 4, verses 10 and 14, gives that same picture. Mm-hmm.
Could you read that out, brother?
Jesus said to woman, with the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Everlasting life. If there's, if you would like at any point, John is a great book for reading. Like, he uses pictures and patterns and things like that. But go read through the book of John one day, one afternoon, and circle all the stories that have to do with Jesus bringing up water. And see how often it comes up. It's pretty wild when you see all the stories that come up with water. And it's also in this book that you find out when Jesus is pierced on the side, out of him comes out blood and water, right? It comes right out of his side. But that picture of coming to him and those living waters, and then it pours out of us, and Jesus, and we see that John writes down, this he spoke about the Spirit. So Ray, we come and we're saved, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. So is this coming out of us all the time then? Is the Holy Spirit coming out of us all the time? Is it pouring out so that other people can then be pointed to Jesus to be, have their thirst quenched? And when I start asking it that way, you start going, wait a second. I don't think, even though those living waters are in me, I'm not sure if I'm always evidencing a life that people want to come and get a drink. I'm not sure. Yes, Jesus says that this connection is, this is the connection. You come to him, you believe, and out of you come rivers of living water. But do you see that in your life? That thirst-quenching water coming out? And that's where it brings us then to the question about being filled in the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Being filled with the Spirit, is that up to the individual?
Well, that's where we're going to look at right now, brother. Look at that. He pulled that off like just like I paid you.
I'll slip you those
$5.
In the morning, I listened to that show Haven Today, and they've been focusing on Olympic athletes this week. And the girl, Sydney Varone or whatever, she's running the hurdles. She talked about how when she was in Tokyo, she had gotten to Tokyo, and she was filled with fear and anxiety, and she wanted to come home. And she called her dad, and her dad talked her off the roof and got her to stay there and just go through the process. And she did, and she, I think she ended up winning a gold medal back in Tokyo. But she realized that she had not fully committed her life to Christ, thus the fear and the anxiety.
Mm.
And once she did that, it all went away, and now she's in Paris for these Olympics, and she's running without that fear. Faith, and she wrote, her book is, I forget forget what it's titled, Beyond the Gold or something like that. But anyway, she wrote a book, and then, but her whole outlook and everything is totally different. Now she's running, she knows it, that she's running for the Lord, and no matter what happens, she's good with it, you know, whether she wins the gold or doesn't win the gold.
That's a good perspective, though, too, right? Like, it's not, now I have God, I'm definitely going to win. It's, no, now I can, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, like the song goes.
Do all things through Christ who strengthens
me. Yeah. So let's go to that then. Is the filling then something you control? And this is what's so helpful about this passage that we read in Ephesians. Now, there was a lot of verses there. Let's first start in verse 15 for some of that context. Paul says in Ephesians 5:15, through the Holy Spirit, he's writing. What? Actually, let's start in verse 14. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. So you see this picture of this this light that's shining out, and it's shining in the person who's been awakened, who's been born again, as it were. And it, so that's something that's happening, right? But verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk. Question. Is this something you control? Do you, this thing, it says here, be careful how you walk. Do you control?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely, right? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It's very clear. You are being careful how you walk. Just like how you would walk through a neighborhood. And I just always go back to myself in New York. I was a very skinny, nerdy kid. And whenever I walked around a certain part of the property, I was very careful how I walked. I wore sunglasses, so that people don't see my nervous eyes looking around at the people staring at me. I would also look at the houses where there was people that I knew that would come out and probably chase me. Very careful how I walk, but also careful how I controlled myself too. You don't wanna walk, like even though I wore sunglasses, you don't wanna look nervous walking around and trying to, it made you a target. It made you a target. So I was very careful of how I walked. Now, this isn't talking about doing those things to put up a front. But the thing is, I was using that example of I'm controlling myself in the way I walk. So that's clearly something you do. Now, the next part of this says there. So you're careful as you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So what does that tell you? There's unwise people who walk a stupid way, and there's wise people who walk a right way, right? So that's what he's using that example. There's, you're careful how you walk. You're not doing like the foolish, but you're doing as the wise. All right, the next verse. Making the most of your time. Is that something you control? It is, right? Make most of our time. How often do you find, and I find myself sometimes doing this, I've had to install TikTok several times. Some of you don't know what that is. It's an app that you just keep looking at stupid people dancing. And I find myself that sometimes, and this was happening to me for a while, and I installed it the one time that I was like, I was using it, and I would wake up 5:30 in the morning, I'll sit down, and I'll start scrolling through TikTok, and then I look up and I go, oh, what time is it? 6:30, and an hour flew by. That was me not making the most of my time, an utter waste of time. I had to install that. Like I said, I've installed it several times. It just keeps coming back, and the Chinese government is clearly looking at all my activities. But what, there's things that you're probably doing that you're not careful of your time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something you can control. Yeah. Now here, Paul writes, you're not making the most of your time merely because wasting time. But he says, what's the reason? The days are evil. making the most of your time because the days are evil. Think about your own life. If there was a problem in your home, let's say there was a leaking roof, water's coming in. When the water's coming in, you make motions to take care of it, right? Because you know that's going to get worse. You're concerned about that roof that is leaking. There's a problem there. You need to be active. And here he's writing, hey, the days are evil. The whole world is a dark mess. Are we really supposed to be the type of people who are just lazing around? Eh, you know what? It's no problem. I'm going to pause there. Any comments that we want? Anybody wants to add?
It's all true. I mean, the phones are a big distraction. TV,
mm-hmm.
computers,
subscription services.
Yeah. All kinds of things to take your time.
Yep. I've noticed there's always a sports for every season.
Mm-hmm. They overlap.
Every season, and they overlap. I'm not knocking sports, but like, what a maneuver, right? That it's like, hey, by the way, you can watch this, you can watch this. And if you're not a sports person, we got the news. The 24-hour news cycle.
That's a real killer.
Yeah, it's all drain.
You got everything, right? Food Network, house, you know, fancy houses on an island. And
you like the distraction? We got the distraction to
and
provide.
Most of all, you have the remote.
You have the remote.
And you can see it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say
yeah.
about the leaky roof. You get a 5-gallon bucket, and then you find the remote.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. So then he says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this this whole passage about not being stupid about this, understand the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord was all these things that are mentioned before, right? In Ephesians chapter 5, that you see the whole bit about being imitators of God as beloved children, walking in a manner worthy of the calling, all of those things. But here's where we get to this part here. Look at this in verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or debauchery. I think, Cheyenne, you had a different word there too and do not be drunk with wine, for that is, it was verse 18, Ephesians 5:18. I think you had
debauchery
the different.
Yeah.
NIV, okay. So it's like that debauchery, it's that lack of control. So you've seen drunk people, right? And you've seen drunk people. I mean people who are out of their mind drunk. What? Why is
I don't
goodness,
like staring at me
goodness
like
gracious. Goodness gracious. But like when you've seen someone truly drunk, they are mumbling random stuff. They're yelling at people for sometimes no reason. Their body is doing strange motions. They can't hold themselves up, right? Like all of those things that are happening. Now, here's what I find interesting, right? That debauchery, that unhingedness, that out of controlness of your body. Why is it that people then think, the Holy Spirit's like that? This passage actually says the exact opposite. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, because that is that lack of control. That is that debauchery. That is that unhingedness. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's highlight some things here. So going right to the question, is this something you can control? And he writes here, be filled. Be filled. That is a command. It's not a question. It's not, hey, you know, let yourself get filled. This is a command. Be filled. Not only that, it's written in So it's like saying like this, you be filled. It's telling you, be filled. That's what Paul's writing. You don't get drunk with wine and be filled with wine, but you be filled. So when he's saying it, it's a command to you. Now, here's that second thing I was going to. The you is not an individual. It's not telling individuals in the church, you be filled and the other person don't be filled, which is something that we get today in the modern church where people put a hand on and the head and they say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not what Paul is saying. He's saying basically, y'all be filled. Y'all be filled. All of you. Does that sound like something you can control? A command given to all of you. Very much so. So far we're seeing a lot of things that you can control here, and now he's saying, y'all be filled. So yes, you have the Holy Spirit in you, but this aspect of the Holy Spirit, that filling, that he's the living water is coming out of you, that you are a thirst quencher that points to Jesus, it's a command for all of you. Something, clearly, God's not going to command something you can't do. Clearly, he empowers you, right? This is Philippians chapter 4, right? I can do all things through Christ, right? I could do all things through him who strengthens me, right? Clearly, he's empowering you. But it's a command. Any commentary or questions at this point?
When you say it's a command, I have here the New Testament distinguished between having the Spirit, which is true of all believers, and being filled with the Spirit, which is the Christian's privilege and duty, like you're saying. That's
yes.
Our duty, really. That's
exactly right. Which means you could flaunt your duty. If we don't take advantage of the time, if we're not walking worthy, or if we're not awakening and we're not letting the light shine, we are squandering the command that's been explicitly given. This is your duty, Christian. You're saved. Let the rivers flow out of you. Now he's going to explain what this means. Any other comments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his word, so.
And that's critical. His word, right? This is not some filling of foreign waters. This is why I started with Jesus. You go to him for the drink. You're getting filled by him. You're not getting filled with some concept of what you think is to be spiritual. Dancing and clapping and barking. No, 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 no.
I think people read that verse 2 and 18 and right away they go to alcohol, but to be drunk with anything that isn't of God, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, gambling, whatever.
You know what?
Down the list.
I would think a great modern variation of this would be, and don't be high on fentanyl, right? Because, like, have you seen, like, a fentanyl, like, zombie? Like, how they look like?
Mm-hmm.
It's out of control. Like, you go into Waterbury and you see somebody on fentanyl, their bodies are doing these strange gyrations. They're out of control. They're not there. And Paul is saying, you're not like that. Instead, you must be like this.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all. So if we got 10 people going to church, and y'all be filled, and 9 out of 10 are walking in the Spirit and one isn't, then how y'all going to be filled? I can see the individuals, but now, is that what you're saying about y'all?
Yeah, this is where I'm going to be getting it to the y'all.
I'll wait.
Because one of the things that we make the mistake of thinking that being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that you benefit from. Remember those flowing rivers of living water? that come out of you, who benefits from that?
It should be others.
Others, definitely. We drink from Jesus, the waters flow out of us, and others benefit. And this is why Paul now goes on through the Holy Spirit to explain the four parts that show us what it is to be filled in the Holy Spirit and how that means in relationship to others. What it means for y'all to be filled.
You first have to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Oh, yes.
So that
you must come to Jesus.
Individually before you
can. Yes.
To anyone else.
Absolutely. This is, we are not a people who get to drink from Jesus through osmosis. None of us. Right? It's not like you can be someone who gets your thirst quenching just by sitting next to Brian and Phyllis. Oh, they're very holy, so if I sit next to them, I've gotten my Jesus fill. No. You need to go to the source, that we have to go to Jesus individually, and then y'all, as part of the body of Christ, must be filled. All right.
A good example with that would be breaking bread.
Oh, yes.
Because if we're all, y'all are in tune, and you're having Christ as the center, then the Holy Spirit can do his work.
Mm-hmm. And this is the beauty of that, like, oh, that ties so closely with the stuff that's happening right here. The four parts of what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Look at verse 19. The first part, look at what the word is that's probably in all your versions. It says speaking. Speaking. Do you talk to yourself?
Sometimes.
Are we still in Philippians?
Oh, no, we're in Ephesians. We're Ephesians chapter 5. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 5. We're in verse 19.
Okay.
So we just finished the do not get drunk with wine. Mm-hmm. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first mark of being filled in the Holy Spirit is
speaking
to one another. It's not speaking to yourself. It's speaking to one another. And he says there in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, these are, it doesn't mean that we talk to each other in music, right? It doesn't mean like, hey, how's it going? I'm going to speak to you in rhyme. How are you doing? Are you spending good time? We don't speak to like each other like that in music. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying when he's using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, those are the things, the very scripture that strengthens each other up. And Paul is saying, I want you to show that you're filled in the Holy Spirit. Here's the flowing rivers of living water coming out of you. You speak to one another in psalms and spiritual songs and hymns.
That's because songs and hymns are alive.
Very much so. Very much so.
Center focus should always be on Christ and Christ alone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be on, oh, I don't like number 82 and what you're wearing. You know, and that's where a lot of it goes wrong.
Persecution brings you closer to the Lord.
Thanks,
brother. I'll even crank up the volume on that too, right? It's not only the Lord's Supper. If we come and let's say we sat around and we also listened to a message from the pulpit, and the message from the pulpit was who should you should vote for, that you should vote Republican versus Democrat, I would say we just wasted an hour.
Yeah.
We're not speaking to each other in exactly this way, in this spiritual way of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You spoke plepla, is the word in Spanish that we would say. Nonsense words. You babbled. It means nothing. You wasted my time. Right, but you know what? Political is not the only pony that people like to ride on from the pulpit. There's all sorts of things that people could decide to play their fiddle on, and it's a waste of time if you don't show us Christ.
We had one speaker here that opened up in Scripture, very nice, closed the Bible, put it aside, and talked about Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was an evangelist, but no more scripture, just all about Jonathan Edwards. And to me, it was a waste of my time.
Great for a class at some
yep.
other point, but you just wasted a Sunday.
Yep.
I remember one preacher once that spent an hour pointing out how Job rode on a dinosaur. And I sat there and I said, you just wasted my time. This is an hour that's been thrown away. You could have been pointing us to Christ. So that's the number one. Number two.
Rapture.
Number two, going to what you said, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now, sometimes we make this only about like, hey, doesn't mean you don't have to be singing. It means that you do it in your heart. But the point here is, what is your insides filled with? And this comes out, right? If, I think Mike just said, like, you have to go to the source, right? But can I use another word too? Crap in, crap out. If we're spending our times listening to certain things, that is what's going to come out. It might not come out in your words, but it might come out in your thinking or how you perceive the world. And what's here, a mark of the following the command of being filled with the Spirit, yes, you speak to one another, but also you're singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And I got to say, it's a beautiful thing. I'm sorry, Marty, I'm going to give you props. I'm not trying to take away your crown. But I love it on a Sunday when I come in and this dude's making coffee and you hear him singing to himself.
What are you singing, Marty?
Like a rose trampled on the ground.
I've done it,
Marty. He hasn't done it. The Sinatra doesn't come out. It's usually like a rose.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to change my song this.
But that making melody in your heart. And an encouragement, brothers and sisters, an encouragement for you, right? One of the earliest things I remember when I came to this church, people were singing, and I remember people came and apologized to me for our singing in the church. And I sat there and I was like, why are we apologizing? We're making melody to the Lord.
Just heard it wrong.
Yeah. Like,
that's a good answer.
But in all honesty, there's no reason to apologize if we're together making melody to the Lord, even if it's different melodies that are going on. There's no reason to apologize for that. In fact, there's churches who their singing is just reading the Psalms. And it's just as good. You know why? Because the Psalm is a hymn book, right? And in all honesty, many of us have also been to churches where the singing is not as good as ours. Not even joking. Right, Pete?
No comment.
Right? So the thing is, you're always going to be comparing yourselves if you're doing that. But this commandment of being filled with the Spirit is not, hey, make melody that sounds better than Waterbury. That's not what it says. It says making melody. So that's number two. Number three of being a person who's filled in the Holy Spirit and y'all being filled. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father. You see that pointing back to Christ and the Father through the Holy Spirit? This is why we clearly see the Holy Spirit at work in the Trinity. But here's the point that he's doing. The Holy Spirit is driving us to be thankful. To be thankful. To be a people who give thanks. How many times have we, like, the first thing maybe we've complained about when we come into the building is, I can't believe that part is still not fixed. Right? I just pointed upwards. I can't believe that part's not fixed. There are places in this world that have to meet in basements. They're not complaining about the peeling paint. They're not. I can't believe this carpet is still the same carpet. There's places that are lucky to have some flooring at all, and it's dirt. Be thankful. I can't believe this country is going to hell in a handbasket. The rights that are being lost. There are countries like the Sudan, which is primarily Muslim, where if you're going out as a Christian, you're probably going to die, and you have the benefit to meet openly in a place like this. And no one's knocking on our doors. Mm-hmm. Be thankful, always giving thanks. Giving thanks for even the smaller things. Today I was in a meeting and we were looking at a project plan software. And one of the guys who was looking at the project plan, he said, I don't want to say this about myself, but I think I should say it because it should be a criteria for looking at this project planning software. I can't see color, so I can't tell apart the different color boxes that everyone's using. We should probably look for a software that helps people, that's been built with color blindness in mind. And everybody who was listening to that guy went, oh, wow. Thankful that you can see color.
Yeah.
Like something like that. This guy's seeing blues and grays and some greens.
The theme of thankfulness is runs all the way through the scriptures. Every book has it many times.
Yep.
And God is telling us over and over again to be thankful people.
And he shows us the reverse too. When you go back and put a note in your notes for Romans chapter 1, look at the sign of what it is for the unregenerate persons. What is the first thing they do? It says they refuse to give thanks. They refuse to give thanks. We should not be those people. We're spirit-filled. And here's the fourth part. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. This one's probably the hardest for Americans. To be subject to one another. Now, of course, the passage goes on and starts speaking about the different ways of being subject. Wives to their husbands. Eventually, you'll speak about children to their parents. But and then even masters, slaves to their masters. But Paul leads with this. Be filled, y'all. And this is what it looks like. A group of believers that are subject to one another, not because of the fear of man, but in the fear of Christ.
One more. When I look at that, I see grace and truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we should be working with one another, is that we should be people of grace and stay with truth. In John 1:14, when Jesus Christ came, and John was talking about him, the apostle, he said he is grace and truth. We should follow that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
That's being subject one to another.
Yep. And sometimes we twist it, right? And we think that being truth means being brutal and harsh. That's not what it says.
Brian.
Oh, wow.
They, my number one son.
You see why I have trouble relating to you?
Sorry, Mike.
Hey, stay back right now.
And we also have problems with the grace part, right? That sometimes we think it means, I turn a blind eye. That's what grace is. I let it go. No, it's not. It's neither of those things, right? But this fourfold view of what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's other passages that you could read about the Holy Spirit and being filled in the Holy Spirit in Acts, for example. And you see that like Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. Or the deacons, the early deacons who were filled with the Holy Spirit. But how were they known? They were full of wisdom and joy. And they had the wisdom with the knowledge of the scripture. It's very common. It's common. It's available to any of us. It's not like a super Christian has it. Rivers of living water flows out of any of us who go and drink from the thirst-quenching hose of Jesus Christ. Any closing comments?
Just a thought that, you know, you're getting into the whole passage of family.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the grace and the love starts with your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then it extends to your church family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's an order there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why God gives us family, so we can learn his ways,
yep,
not our ways. That's interesting. These are family relationship,
mm-hmm,
that goes on in the church.
Amen.
But as Tom was doing it, he could be overly
protecting his father. And Bill being blinded to what is going on.
What are you smiling at?
Any other closing comments?
I have no comments for my son.